This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
What's up? Happy Tuesday, everybody. It is September 24th, heading into week four of the NFL season. Got a lot of action with the black and gold to get into. For that, we're going to welcome in Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak into the radio huddle right off the bat. And Jeff, obviously the biggest news today going on with center Eric McCoy. We found out he does need surgery and will miss approximately, what they're saying, 6 to 8 weeks with that issue. And obviously, can't even state how much of a big hit this is for the black and gold. Don't want it to be too down on the team, but man, oh man, you know, you talk about what McCoy is along the offensive line, what he means to the team, and the quality of player he is. It's just a big loss.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to hear the words next man up a lot.
Right.
It's kind of the buzzword, the buzz phrase that teams always use when you lose players for any significant amount of time. I'll be the first to say that you can't really replace Eric McCoy. You will have a next man up. There will be someone who steps in there at center. It's probably going to be Lucas Patrick, as he was the backup. He took over when Eric went out. But there's no question that your offensive line play is going to take a hit, right? Like, it was already a problem position, and I think Eric was kind of the glue that helped that group play a lot better than it probably was on paper to this point. Now, you're going to have a week to come up with a better plan than you necessarily had on Sunday. And I think it's really difficult to replace a guy like Eric McCoy ever, but particularly in game like that. Now, if like you're talking about second half, you know, maybe like the second half of the fourth quarter or the third and fourth quarter, and you're replacing a guy, that's one thing. They had to try to replace him from the third play of the game on, and they just couldn't do it well. So, yeah, it's rough. It's definitely going to make life a lot more difficult. But one thing is to keep in perspective. You look around the NFL, it felt like every third or fourth tweet or headline I saw today was so-and-so heads to IR, so-and-so is going to miss X amount of time. The Falcons also lost their center this week. Drew Delman, I want to say his name is. So the Saints aren't the only team dealing with injuries, but yeah, if I had to pick one guy on the offense that wasn't the starting quarterback that I didn't want to lose, it would have been Eric McCoy.
So we figure for this matchup, Lucas Patrick would slide over and be the center once again in this upcoming game against the Atlanta Falcons, but what's going to happen at that left guard spot? I know it's going to be, I think, a question between Nick Saldiveri and Ali Udo, and I know the team is obviously working out players as well. I just don't know if they're going to be able to get up to speed and in line enough to be in game action for this Sunday.
Yeah, I don't think you're signing anyone this week with the anticipation that you're going to start them at guard. Now, you have Shane Lemieux on the practice squad. I think the most likely scenario is Lucas Patrick goes to center. Ali Udo probably starts again at left guard. I think if you were going to play Nick Saldiveri, you would have probably done it last week. I think they're probably just not keen on having a guy make his NFL debut in between a rookie left tackle and a backup center, right? And that would be what you would be asking Nick Saldiveri would do. Landon Young is the other name in that bunch. He's been dealing with a foot injury. He did take over at left guard for Lucas Patrick in the second half against the Panthers. So I wouldn't be surprised if he gets some run there if you're looking at him. One way or the other, it's not a lot of great options. Shane Lemieux can play center. I don't think he's actually taken a snap at center in his NFL career, at least not in a regular season game. We did see him play center against the 49ers in the preseason, and that wasn't a particularly good showing, particularly trying to snap into the shotgun. So, Yeah, it's tough. I also think we should be on the lookout for Cesar Ruiz went down with what looked like an ankle injury, a lower leg injury in that game. He went out, went to the injury tent, came back almost immediately. It was actually kind of remarkable how quickly he was back on the field. But a lot of times you'll see guys can gut through an injury in a game, and then, you know, the adrenaline wears off, it swells up on you, and then you're looking at something else. So he's a guy that you have to watch too. So I don't think it's out of the question that he ends up on the injury report. Maybe he's limited in practice. And you have to consider that maybe you have to replace the right guard too. And you have to have a backup right guard, left guard, and center all at the same time. And those guys will be playing in between your rookie left tackle and Trevor Penning at right tackle. So
whole lot of
yeah,
fun.
It's definitely an issue. Let's put it that way.
Obviously, the big issues there on the offensive line we've just been talking about, but the defensive side of the ball, too, we saw some injuries pop up late in the game. I know DeMario Davis wasn't completely healthy. Tyrann Mathieu still dealing with that heel issue. Do we know any more about Davis's status or injury, at least? I haven't heard what exactly he's dealing with.
We don't. I mean, we asked Dennis Allen after the game. He wasn't on that final drive against the Eagles. And, you know, for a guy like DeMario to keep him off the field, he's not just standing over there on the sideline because of some discomfort. It's significant if it's keeping him off the field in a 2-minute clinching defensive scenario. And I don't think it's necessarily a coincidence that you don't have DeMario on the field and suddenly you're having these crazy issues where guys are running into each other in coverage. But yeah, we don't really know a lot more. DA after the game said it was hamstring or groin tightness, something in that range. He did deal with a hamstring injury in camp. So maybe it's a recurrence of that same issue. DeMario is a guy who has plays through everything. He's only missed one game in his Saints career, and it was due to COVID. So, you know, he's not a guy who's going to miss games due to injury. He had a knee injury last year that we all thought he was going to miss a game on Thursday against the Jaguars, and he played. So we'll have to see. It's tough when you have a key defensive player and you're kind of just up in the air about it. But if there's anyone who's going to play through it, I'd guess it's him. Tyrann has been dealing with a heel issue all camp. I think it dates back to last year, honestly. And he's just been kind of maintaining it. So I don't think that's going to be anything that keeps him out. But I have a feeling the injury report we get tomorrow will be extensive, to say the least.
Yeah, 100%. And Jeff, we were talking with Clancy Brown last night about, you know, the tight end position and just have not seen much production there just yet in the passing game. I mean, they've been solid in the blocking game, which has been great. But as far as adding extra weapons when you put tight ends on the field, they just haven't been utilized that much. And we talked about that position almost as one of weakness entering this season and hoping that Juwan Johnson could finally have the breakout. But the offseason foot surgery, what Clancy was telling us last night, Coach Barone, basically that they still kind of have him on a pitch count to start the year, and maybe he'll get more involved as the season goes along. But Foster Moreau as well, there's just not much production that the Saints have had from the tight end room so far in the passing attack.
No, I mean, you did get a decent showing out of them in week one, right? Both guys caught touchdowns. It was a game where you weren't really that concerned about the Panthers' pass rush, so I think that did allow for a little bit more from the tight ends getting out and catching passes. In week two, you had the Cowboys where you were scheming all sorts of protection for their pass rush, and you had tight ends staying in to block, and at times you had both Foster Moreau and Juwan Johnson combo blocking Micah Parsons. So yeah, I do think in this, something Clancy brought up, along with that pitch count, is just sometimes in your game plan, it just does not allow for a lot of production for the tight ends because they can't get out and run routes. And that's what happened when Eric McCoy went down. The entire blocking game plan kind of just got thrown out the window, and you had to do some things you weren't necessarily planning to do. So I do think that there are some excuses for why the tight ends maybe haven't been as involved. But no, I mean, that's a position where you don't look at it and you say, man, we have all these playmakers, we have all these weapons. We haven't seen Dallin Hulker yet. He dealt with an injury throughout camp, so he's a little behind in terms of his development. He was active for that game. He did get on the field a few times, but I don't think he saw a target. I'm not even sure if he ran a route. But no, that was a position going in that you said, hey, it's kind of it has a potential to be kind of a black hole of production. And that's what we've seen so far. I think Juwan Johnson has 2 catches for like 20-something yards. Foster Moreau has 5 catches for 40-something yards, a touchdown each. That said, you know, for this Saints offense to have success, I do think that the tight ends need to be more involved in the run game and keying the run game. If they can do that, which they weren't really able to do in week three, then everything's going to open up. If you can't run the ball, then you are going to be constantly having to keep them in to protect because you can't run play action effectively. You can't do a lot of things. So, you know, it sounds kind of cliched, but, you know, you have to block to go catch a ball, right? You know, they're not going to be able to be involved in the passing game if you know, Zach Bond is trucking you on a block off the edge, right? And that's what was happening over and over again. So we'll see. I do think that Juwan will be more involved as we go. I actually was kind of encouraged to hear Clancy say that about Juwan because it almost looked like, hey, he's kind of been passed on the depth chart by Foster. And it's just, I think if you're going to give up on the receivers the tight end in the receiving game, that's just going to be a recipe for kind of a long season on offense, in my opinion.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
What a difference a way, I guess, the Houdat Nation and fans of the black and gold feeling right now. Obviously, the first 2 weeks were such a high. Losing Sunday at home to the Eagles, a big downer. Getting the news now with Eric McCoy puts some extra, I guess, stress, you would say, on this upcoming game against the Falcons. But what are some positives we're going to be looking for in this matchup, Jeff? When you look at this Falcons squad, obviously, they've had issues of their own right now. They're just 1-2 on the season. They should be probably 0-3. Considering they, you know, came back and the Eagles gave them that game in week two on Monday Night Football in Philly. But overall, for me at least, I'm definitely worried about that Falcons run game with Algier and Bijan Robinson. But other than that, I don't know if it's such a tough matchup, even going to Atlanta in this one.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you should have the advantage on defense, right? You should be able to get after Kirk Cousins. The difficulty that exists with Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts is that you have to account for both of those guys in the run game and then figure out the pass game behind that. With Kirk Cousins, it's like, hey, you want to run the ball? I'm not worried about Kirk. I'm not even worried about him taking three steps to the right or left. He's going to be exactly where I expect him to be. So I can kind of just key on Algier and Bijan. Now, Bijan in the passing game is a tougher scenario. We saw him kind of take advantage of that in week 11 last year? Week 12, maybe, with that long touchdown, and I think he ran for a touchdown as well. But they were able to bottle him up the second time around. So, I don't know. I feel like the Saints should be able to get their job done on defense, knowing that you're going to tee off on backups on their offensive line. And, you know, I'm not sold on Kirk Cousins yet. I think that he's been fine. He's been absolutely fine, but nothing that I feel like, man, you can't slow this offense down. Now, can you block? I don't know. That's going to be the question. And we haven't really seen Matt Judon as far as the Saints playing against him. I don't think he was active when they faced the Patriots last year. And obviously they haven't faced the Falcons yet. So he's going to kind of be an unknown in how he shows up. But one way or the other, you know, I feel like the Saints should be looking at this as, hey, we went into the first three games of the season saying these are, you know, one matchup we definitely have to win and two matchups that we feel like could go either way. So my thing going in was, hey, I'd have to beat the Panthers and then I want to beat the Cowboys or the Eagles. I don't need to beat both. I'd love to beat both, but I need to beat one. And they got that done.
Right.
They're technically in first place in the NFC South right now. The Bucs are having their own issues. You know, the Bucs have two sacks this season? Two total. Think about that. The Saints have 11. And they're tied for fifth in the NFL. So, you know, the rest of the NFC South has its injuries and issues too. So if you can go into Atlanta and find a way to win, you're in the driver's seat and you're feeling great about it.
Yeah, sure. You know? Alante Taylor had 3 sacks the first game, to your point.
Yeah, Bo Nix looked pretty comfortable.
Right, think about that. So, you know, that's an issue for them down there. And obviously the Panthers, you know, maybe they're the best team in football with Andy Dalton. I don't know. But either way, you know, if you're the Saints, you shouldn't be looking at this and saying, woe is me. You should be looking at this and saying, hey, this is the NFL. We have to figure this out. But we're in a good position to figure this out. That's how I would frame it.
And you kind of hinted a little bit at there, Jeff, when you're talking about the matchup between the Falcons and the Saints. But, I mean, the interior of the Falcons' D-line, right, with Grady Jarrett, David Onyemata against now, I don't want to call it makeshift, but you kind of said you lost the glue guy with Eric McCoy, and so you have to shift some things around to make it work out. It's a little bit intimidating as far as the matchup goes. Yes, the Saints do have a better defense on paper than the Falcons, but if you're talking about the D-line versus the O-line, and with the O-line being banged up, that's kind of an area of concern.
Yeah, they're going to have to find a way, and that's why, you know, you look at the tight end position and the running backs, and like, well, you know, you're probably going to end up with a very intensive blocking plan again to keep those guys in to help protect. So that's kind of where you're at, and you just got to figure out a way to run offense. You know, the thing the Eagles were doing that really, I think, threw the Saints for a loop was that kind of 6-1 front, that bare front, that every time they went heavy, you were just staring at a line with six people, and Jalen Carter had a day of his life against Cesar Ruiz. So, you know, I think that anytime you have a really rough day like that, it's hard to it's the opposite of like the Cowboys game where you didn't get a hint of pressure all day and you're like, man, this is the best offensive line I've ever seen. And then you have the Eagles game where you can't seem to block a lick. And it's like, I can't even imagine what a clean pocket would seem like. You know, I think this will end up somewhere in the middle, but the idea that Derek's not going to have to extend plays and find a way to operate with kind of a mess in the pocket, I think that's kind of out the window now. You're just going to have to figure out a way to survive it. And so it's got to be on Derek, I think, because I think that's the nightmare scenario now is you lose your center, you're getting a ton of pressure up the middle, and then Derek gets teed off on and you know, ends up getting hurt, and then we're kind of back where we are where we were last year. So, no, I mean, that's going to be fascinating. And I think the Falcons, again, the Falcons are in the same boat, right? They lost their center too, and if I had to, you know, Derek's not the most mobile guy, but Kirk Cousins compared to Derek Carr,
right, move, yeah.
Derek looked like a track star, right? So I don't know. I'm curious to see with a week if kind of the brain trust with John Benton and Rick Dennison and Clint Kubiak can find a way to make this group look a lot better than they are, because I feel like that's what they were able to do in weeks 1 and 2, and we don't even really know what the plan was in week 3 because it got thrown out the window when Eric went out. So I'm going to give them a chance to surprise me. I'm not going to jump off the ledge quite yet, but it's definitely, you know, the alarm bells start going off early. If the first couple drives in that game end up getting blown up by pressure, it's going to be a long day, I think.
For sure. We'll see what this team's really made of now that, you know, you always hear about it. When adversity finally strikes, how do you react to it? Jeff, definitely appreciate the time. You can check out Jeff's work at WWL.com. He's got an article about Juwan Johnson. Also, of course, about Eric McCoy needing surgery, likely to miss a significant amount of time for the black and gold. Thank you so much, Jeff, and we will be talking to you soon.
For sure, y'all. Have a good one.